Dear Korean Context listeners, this is the first of many forthcoming episodes where the Korea Economic Institute staff will tackle a critical issue in South Korea, explaining its roots, implications, and where it is headed. This March, Seoul suffered from the worst air pollution on record, enough that the Korean government has officially designated the problem as a social disaster. But what is causing the air pollution? And what exactly is fine dust? And what does the Korean government plan on doing about it? We're here to answer all these questions. From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., I'm Yeon Kwon, and this is Korean Context Explainer. I'm here today with Yeji Nam, an intern with the Korea Economic Institute and the author of the recent Peninsula blog post on the costs associated with the fine dust crisis that we might not necessarily always think about, and with Troy Stangarone, our Senior Director for Congressional Affairs and Trade. Troy was just recently in Korea in March 2019. So first, let's go back to the basics. Troy, what exactly is fine dust? We've heard a lot about smog, we know a lot about air pollution in industrial cities, but ultra-fine dust is kind of a new term for us. What is it?
So it's also oftentimes called PM 2.5, meaning particulate matter 2.5 micrometers. So these are very fine particles. And one of the things that may be of interest is that not all of them are man-made in essence. Some of them are natural, like mist from the ocean is actually often categorized as PM 2.5. But clearly that's not something that's going to be dangerous to humans or anything. What we're really talking about is essentially the man-made ones. And a lot of these particles come from the exhaust from cars. Diesel vehicles tend to be worse than other types of vehicles. It's also from industrial processes, so coal-fired plants give out these types of particles. They also come from other industrial processes. But even if the process itself isn't taking and creating PM 2.5, what we call fine dust more colloquially, it also takes and you can have chemical compounds that are put out into the atmosphere from industrial processes that then can combine with other things in the atmosphere to create them. So even if the actual basically exhaust from these plants isn't fine particulate matter itself, it could end up interacting with other things in the atmosphere to create that. And one of the things about it is keep in mind, you know, when you think of smog, if you think of like a diesel vehicle, you can see like the black stuff coming out and everything. These particulate matters are basically 3/10 or so of like a strand of hair. So you can't physically see them in the atmosphere. So, you know, these are the kinds of things we're talking about, that they're very small. They come largely but not totally from man-made processes. And unless it's really high, you probably wouldn't even notice that it's around you.
We recently learned that Seoul has one of the worst air qualities in the world. Yeji, could you explain why Seoul has developed this terrible air quality?
There are three reasons for the fine dust crisis in Seoul. First, car emissions. In Seoul, there are more than 3 million registered cars. New York, Beijing, and Bangkok, and many other metropolitan cities, they are suffering from poor air quality issue, and they also have a lot of cars in the city. But Seoul is more significantly suffering from poor air quality because Seoul's population density is twice higher than of New York City and 4 times higher than Los Angeles. So there are a lot more cars in smaller area that makes the air quality worse in Seoul. And lastly, there's an air current that goes from northern China through western Seoul. These air currents bring a lot of pollutants, including sulfur and sulfate dioxide. And these pollutants worsen the fine dust problem in Seoul.
Growing up, I remember hearing about how the Korean government wanted to do more about air pollution. But I'm curious when this ultra-fine dust issue started becoming more of a prominent social issue and something that was on the forefront of policymakers. Troy, do you know when you would begin the narrative of this crisis and when you think the government became conscientious of this issue?
You mentioned air quality has often been an issue in Seoul. I've been traveling to South Korea since about 2006. And, you know, I was there in March. That was the first time in my life I ever actually thought about wearing like a face mask. About 13 years that I've been traveling to South Korea, there really has been this significant shift. You may not want to pick a specific date per se, but at least the last 3 or 4 years, you know, going back to, you can find stories on this, you know, from 2016 about the government trying to address this issue. So you've had this period of time to where there was improving air quality, and now it's come back, and it's come back with this specific type of particle issue. And it's become really a campaign issue. President Moon said that one of the things he was going to do was to improve the environment, but specifically the air quality in South Korea. So it's a challenge that Korean governments have always faced, but it's become much more exacerbated in recent years. The World Health Organization at the UN, they have a gradient system of how much is in the air in terms of whether, you know, it's okay for people to be outside, whether there's sort of a moderate amount, when you need to be starting worried, and then when it's really bad. And you're seeing this spike over the last 2 to 3 years to where you have an increasing number of days and periods of days to where you're getting these really high spikes sort of beyond what one would consider really safe for most people to go outside. There are real issues here that I think affect the daily lives of South Koreans. And in the past, there have been some efforts to address this, but they would be either one local, the Seoul government doing it, or the national government, say, perhaps requiring all government officials whose license plate was an odd number one day not to drive into work, or the even number the next day. And so there are things to sort of mitigate maybe in the moment, but there hasn't been a sustained push to try and refocus things in South Korea up until recently, perhaps, really, to try and actually tackle the issue head on. Think about this long term in terms of how the challenge grows if not addressed. In South Korea, you have an aging population, which in 2060, over 30% of the population will be over the age of 65. We know that fine dust is an issue in terms of being more acute for the elderly and the young. So you will then have a population which in essence will be more vulnerable to the effects of fine dust. And at the same time, because the population is going to shrink, and specifically the working age population, you'll likely have slower economic growth and fewer resources to deal with it. So in the long run, this is a challenge that needs to be addressed sooner rather than later, because it becomes potentially more difficult to deal with as time goes on.
Right. And I think there's a lot of perceptions that the fine dust issue is just an irritation to public life. The early symptoms, I think people are more familiar with: eye irritation, sore throat, some coughing. But this is a fairly serious health crisis. I mean, we're talking about how long-term exposure to these things could cause cardiovascular diseases, lung diseases, and other things. This is going to be a long-term issue for the Korean government, and it's going to be a drain on health services system that, you know, as we speak, the Korean government wants to spend more money on to expand in other areas. As we enter the third year of the Moon administration, the president has been relatively busy. We've had the very dramatic ups and downs in U.S.-North Korea negotiations. There's the ongoing demands for President Moon to create a better economy. Amidst all these other issues, what is your sense for how the Blue House sees the ultra-fine dust issue?
I think this is clearly an important issue for them. Now, when we put this in context of other issues, having come into office on a mandate to fix the economy, deal with things like youth unemployment, and deal with reforms within the chaebol sector and everything to try and create more transparency and eliminate some of the challenges you had faced that led to the impeachment of Park Geun-hye, those were clearly the top priorities along with North Korea. That being said, this is a high priority for the administration, I think, because it's something people acutely feel. North Korea, you have summits from time to time, it enters the news and everything, but this, everybody who walks outside impacts them. And it's become a social issue within society. You know, for those very reasons, it's something that the administration feels a strong need to have to address. And so you've seen this in terms of, one, taking steps like trying to reduce the power output from coal plants. You know, we're not even talking about their goal long term to eliminate the coal plants, but just simply to reduce the usage, you know, when they can during these types of crises, and even trying to really back investments in things like the hydrogen economy. This isn't going to happen overnight, but if successful, part of the plan is to take and essentially convert most buses eventually to hydrogen fuel cells. They're really trying to support the development of a vehicle-based sector, so create more charging centers in Seoul and some of the other major cities, so that way you can expand the sale of hydrogen-based vehicles. If you're able to take and move the vehicles, you know, away from fossil fuels, move them into either some type of hybrid system that reduces it or an alternative power such as this, and pull on the long term these coal power plants offline, you're starting to have the beginnings of a long-term solution to address this. Even under the Park administration, one of the things they did was they had an incentive for people to basically trade in their older diesel fuel cars for newer vehicles that would at least be cleaner, even if they were still using gas or something else. But the other challenge is you have to have basically good regulatory enforcement. And think about the case of Volkswagen basically faking the emissions results so that way their diesel vehicles were basically polluting much more than anybody thought, but it looked like they were passing emissions tests. And it's not just Volkswagen, so, you know, we can't put all of this on, you know, maybe foreign companies or anything, because you had Korean chemical companies in Yeosu who were bribing officials to pollute well beyond what the limits were. And so it means you have to have a good regulatory system in place. And that doesn't mean being overly burdensome on companies, but it does mean taking and ensuring that once regulations are in place, they're being respected and enforced.
That's it for the Explainer episode. Thank you for tuning in. If you liked the episode, be sure to let us know on Twitter at KOREAECONINST. And don't forget to rate us and leave a comment on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcast. Our next public event is on May 7th with Ken Goss from CNA on whether Kim Jong-un has a domestic political space to denuclearize. See you there!